The story today is about Daniel in the lion's den. Does anybody know where this story is at in the Bible? Daniel, but what chapter? Chapter 6, yes. Okay. To understand this story, though, you need to go back to chapter 5. And it explains the setup for this. King Nebuchadnezzar had died, and his grandson became the ruler of Babylon. And he kind of pushed Daniel aside and didn't really care much for things. And one night on New Year's Eve, he was having a big party. He invited over 1,000 people to this party to celebrate and praise Babylon in all its glory. During this party, he says, I want to do something really radical. He went and told his people to get the golden cups, gold and silver cups that King Nebuchadnezzar took out of the holy temple in Jerusalem. And he brought them back and he drank from them, all his friends and relatives and wives and mistresses drank from them, and they praised the gods of Babylon. They drank and praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, and stone. Suddenly on the wall there appeared a hand, a bloodless hand, and wrote some writing. And it said in the Bible that he was so scared his knees were knocking together, and just silenced the party. Sobered him up the best that could. And he said, I want to know what this means. I don't understand what that writing is. So he sent for all his wise men. And they came in and looked up, and they couldn't interpret it. And the reason they couldn't interpret it is they didn't have God in their life. And they even became more scared because nobody could tell what this writing was on the wall from this bloodless hand. So the queen mother came in to see what was going on, and she goes, oh, I know someone who can do this, someone who has integrity, someone who worships the true God. His name is Daniel. So they sent for Daniel. And Belshazzar says, if you can interpret this, I will give you purple robes, a gold chain around your neck, and you will be third in my kingdom. You know why he only offered him third in the kingdom? He was second. And his father, who was first in the kingdom, was out fighting some battles. So he couldn't offer him the first part, which is his father's. He didn't want to offer him the second part because that would have took his spot, and he was selfish and didn't want to do that. So he offered him the third. And what did Daniel say? He said, keep this for yourself. Well, that was kind of rude to say, but he knew that the king was only going to be there for a short time after this. So he said, keep this for yourself. Then he gave him a little lecture on what Nebuchadnezzar did right, how he worshiped the true God, and how it paid off for him, and how he had to learn the hard way and become like an animal until he respected what the Most High. And he said, you, Belshazzar, knew all this, and yet you did not point out, put a check on your own pride. He was telling him that he knew what was going on. He knew that it was wrong to get the vessels from the temple of God, the living God, and drink in them and mock the true God. Anyway, he says the words on the wall are meeny, meeny, tinkle, eupharson. That meant God has numbered your days and found your reign will come to an end. The second word means that you are weighed in the balances and found wanting, that God, the heavenly courts has weighed you and your character is lacking. The third word means that your kingdom is going to be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Do you think Daniel got the robe and his thing? He did. The king put the purple robes on him, gave him the gold chain, and announced to everyone. Now, I wouldn't have guessed this until I read this through thoroughly, but he got his rewards anyway, and he announced to everyone that he was going to be the third ruler. But the same night, after Daniel left, the Medes and the Persians slipped into the city under the gates and surprised the drunken soldiers and killed Belshazzar and all the rulers. Now, one thing is, if Daniel was the ruler, why didn't they kill him? They didn't kill him because even his enemies knew his honesty and integrity, and Daniel's reputation went before him. Now we get to our story here in Daniel 6, and I'm going to read it as we go. It pleased 6 verse 1 and 2. It pleased Darius the Mede to set over the kingdom 120 princes and governors to be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 governors, of whom Daniel was to be chief or first, that the princes might give an account to the king that there will be no loss. He needed someone with honesty and integrity so that there wouldn't be any losses or any people gypped or anything in the kingdom. And he didn't really trust his own people. He was only found that he could trust Daniel. He heard about Daniel and says, "I think I can trust you." That really says something, because at this point Daniel was at least 80-something years of age, because when he was captured as a teenager, he was in Babylon 70 years, so he had to be in his mid-80s. And he was strong enough, and his body and mind was clear enough, that he was chosen for a very strenuous, demanding position. That says something for the health message that you read about in chapter 1. So when he put Daniel in among the 3 top governors, because he could trust him, the other Medes and Persians resented that. Here you take this captive of Judah, and the king sets him over the whole realm. I'm reading verse 3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself among the governors and the princes because of an excellent spirit was within him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. When it came to Daniel, they said he had an excellent spirit within him. He just shone with the Holy Spirit within him. And the king understood that he was faithful, that he was honest, he could not be bribed, and he was noble and good. Do you know why Daniel was faithful under King Nebuchadnezzar, King Evil Merodach, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus? Daniel was faithful because he never really served them. He served the true God first. Daniel was not afraid of anything because he feared the King of Kings. This is a quote I'd like you to remember. John Wesley said, "He that fears God fears nothing else. He that does not fear God fears everything else." So if you wonder why you fear certain things, it's maybe because you don't fear God enough. And he thought to set him as viceroy over the others. Now that really bothered these people, and they thought they should be first in line. There was envy, there was jealousy. The whole great controversy is in this story, the battle between good and evil. The life of Jesus is even modeled in the life of Daniel. Did Jesus have enemies that tried to find something wrong with him? Did he have spies following him around? Did they resent the high position that he held with the Father when he said that he was the Son of God? Yes, to all of that. They wanted to get rid of him. Jesus is second only to the Father, and Daniel was second only to the king. They could not stand that. What was it that caused the rebellion of Lucifer? He was jealous. He envied the position of Christ, and he wanted to be like the Most High. So a plot was put into effect to get rid of Daniel and get him out of the way. They said, "We will follow him around. We will tap his phone. We will monitor his taxes. We will bug him. We will check his driving record." So they tried to find something wrong with him, but what did they find? Nothing. Verse 4, they sought to find something of occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Why did they find no charge? Because he was faithful. What did they say about Jesus? Even Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." They sent spies and said, "No man speaks like this man. Christ was faithful." Daniel was human, and you can have the same spirit as he had. Daniel was faithful living in a foreign land. Verse 5. They said, "We're not going to find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of God, the law of his God." Somewhere the laws of the Medo-Persians conflicted with his religion. Verse 6, so the governors and the princes thronged before the king, and they said, "King Darius, live forever." Verse 7, all the governors of the kingdom and the administrators and the princes have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Now, did they tell the truth when they said that? No, they were lying, because Daniel was the chief of the consultants, and he was not consulted. Verse 7, that whoever petitions and prays to any other god or man for 30 days except for you, O king, he will be cast into the den of lions. Verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing of it. It cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not, what does not alter. Therefore, O King Darius, sign the decree. Now, when the Medes and Persians made a law, the law of the king did not change, right? It would be in the books for generations. This law that they came up with appealed to the vanity of the king. And so he signed the decree. He didn't realize the whole thing was a ruse to get rid of Daniel. Here's where the story gets really interesting. Daniel is a man of sterling conviction and courage. Verse 10, you should underline this in your Bible. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, there's a lot of interesting things in the Bible about an upper room. Elisha resurrected a boy in the upper room. The church was formed in the upper room. He closed his windows. He went to his upper room, and his windows being open toward Jerusalem, knelt on his knees 3 times a day and gave thanks to God. If you knew you're about to become kitty food, would you give thanks to God? Daniel is about to die, and he is thanking the Lord. Doesn't it say in the Bible, "In all things give thanks"? If he can give thanks to God then, in those circumstances, we can surely thank God for our trials, That means no grumbling. Daniel didn't change anything towards his relationship with God, even though it may cost him his life. Was it because he was stubborn? No. He did it because he loved God and that he was more interested in the honor of God, his real boss, than the king of Medo-Persia. In this verse it says, as his custom was, three times a day. This means Daniel had a personal devotional life. Why is there a book of Daniel? Why did God use him the way he did? The key is in this verse. He prayed and he read his Bible. How do we know he read his Bible? Because he read 2 Chronicles 6:21 that said, "May you hear the supplication of your servant and the people of Israel when they prayed toward this place." Why did Daniel pray three times a day? Because David wrote in Psalms 55:17, it says, "Morning, evening, and noon will I pray, you shall hear my voice." Psalms 119:11, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." Psalms 119:9, "How should a young man choose his way? By taking heed according to your word." And Psalms 22:21, "Save me from the lion's mouth." Maybe Daniel read that. Maybe he was claiming that promise in his prayer. If you think you're too busy to pray, I doubt you're as busy as the prime minister of the biggest kingdom in the world. And yet he found time for God. No matter what was on his schedule, Daniel would say, "I'm going to my upper room," three times a day. If you would like the character of Daniel, you might need the devotional life of Daniel. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. Your word to me was the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Job 23:12 says, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of them, of him, more than my necessary food." So you may want to be hungry a while and read the word of God. Matthew 4:4, "Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." There's a big test coming in the last days, and this big test is approaching. We are going to make a decision. Do I love the Lord more than, do I love the Lord so much that I would rather die than disobey him? This is the test that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego passed. Have you memorized the Ten Commandments? Barb and I asked each other that, and we couldn't really come up with all of them, but we did pretty good. He was asked to worship the king of the Medes and Persians and not a true God. He said, "I would rather die, rather be torn from limb to limb by lions than disobey God." He was asked to break one of the Ten Commandments. In the last days, Christians will face the same tests, like the Sabbath. How important is that one? All God's laws are God's words, and we must obey all his commandments. Is your faith so strong that you would stay true to him even if everyone else turned against him? So Daniel read the Bible. It was food for his soul. For Satan to keep sway over you, he needs to keep you in ignorance of the scripture. How deep and wide your relationship with God is will always be in proportionate to your devotion with him. You need to spend time with him. Let's read Daniel 6:11 and 12. "Then these men found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they come near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hasn't thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions. And the king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Verse 13, Then answered they and said before the king, That Daniel, couldn't they just say Daniel? That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that you have signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Would you like to have had a picture on the face of the king at that time when they said that Daniel? He was set up. He spotted it right then. Pilate knew that the religious leaders were trying to get rid of Jesus, but because of jealousy, and he sought not to deliver him, but he could not to save face. Verse 14, Then the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. What time of the day did Jesus die? Was it the going down of the sun? Verse 15, Then these men assembled unto the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. They're pulling out all the stops and pulling out the fine print. Have you ever been caught by a bad unwanted way by fine print? The king got his lawyers and tried to find a loophole, but they couldn't. The king had to implement the law before the end of the day. Here's a question. How firm is the law of God? Does the law of God change? In spite of all these examples in the Bible, there are people that believe that in spite of God writing the Ten Commandments with his own finger in the presence of Moses, that he's just going to change it. He's just going to swipe it away and say, we got a new plan now. Do you know how ludicrous that is? Yet there are people that think we can change the law of God. It does not change. So the king did all he could, and there was no way out for Daniel. Verse 16, Then the king commanded and brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said to Daniel, Thy God whom thou serve continuously, he will deliver thee. How are we to serve God? Continuously. Verse 17, And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his signet and the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Was there a stone placed on the tomb of Christ? That was like a death sentence for Daniel. These were animals that were fast and hungry, so this was a miracle. Not only was a stone put on Christ's tomb, but it was sealed. Verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. You ever had your sleep going from you when you were nervous about a situation? The king loved Daniel, and he was nervous about it. What do you think the condition of God in heaven was like when Christ was in the tomb? Were they playing their harps in heaven, or was there great somberness there? Verse 19, Then the king arose very early in the morning. What time did Jesus arise from the tomb? Very early in the morning, and went in haste to the den of lions. Verse 20, And when he came to the den, he cried out in a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O king, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servant, whose thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lion's den? Verse 21, then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. Imagine that really shocked the king, because there was never ever any voices heard coming from the lion's den 12 hours later. Verse 22, underline, circle, and color this in your Bible. Daniel says, my God hath sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. Peter says, be diligent, because your adversary goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So how are you and I going to serve or to survive the lion? By having faith and a relationship like Daniel did. Daniel had a devotional life. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. How did Jesus survive the temptations, that the attack of the devil, the lion? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus had the custom every Sabbath. He was in the synagogue reading the scriptures. We need some of those customs in our life. Reading the word, a devotional life, and regular church attendance. Can you envision Daniel leaning up against the lion and using him as a pillow? These lions were hungry. Can you also imagine, people say, it's one thing to sleep with someone that snores. Can you imagine sleeping with someone that roars? That was for Barb's sake. Someone once said the reason the lions did not eat Daniel was because he had too much backbone. Verse 22, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and before you, O king, I have no wrong. Isn't that what Pilate said? I have found no guilt, fault in Jesus. Verse 23, then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. How was Daniel saved? Daniel was saved by faith. It starts out by saying here, in the beginning of Daniel 6, verse 4, he was faithful. Daniel was full of faith. Daniel was not saved by works, even though he had very good works. He was saved by faith. He was saved from the lion's den by faith. Real faith means he believed in God. He showed real faith by putting God first. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. Do we have faith? Do we have the kind of belief that we take our time with God? That is what it means to believe in him. If we believe in God but don't ever give him our time, then we are lying. It is not just saying that we believe in him out there and he exists. The devil says that. It says, I believe in him and I'm going to spend time with him every day. That is what it means to believe in God. That is what I want, God to have that priority in my life. We are going to be facing the same tests. Are you passing these little tests in preparation for the final test? He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much. Some people say that the lions weren't hungry. The kingdom had just went through a transition, and that the lions were all filled up because they were throwing the politicians and prisoners in to feed the lions. If you think that is true, wait till you hear the next verse. The lions were very hungry. Verse 24, the king gave command, And they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the lions' den of lions, then their children and their wives. And the lions had their mastery of them and broke all their bones into pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. This is the new decree that King Darius gave. King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before God, the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and has and his dominion shall be even unto the end." Verse 27, "He delivers and resurrecteth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered into the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. When were the Israelites allowed to come back? Under the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So it doesn't say that, but Daniel could even have been sent back to die in his home country. This is what God the Father did when Jesus was resurrected. I expect to see Daniel in heaven someday. It's going to be fun talking to him about his experience, what it was like. He might be asking us about our experiences. What was it like to stand up for your faith in the last days and know you would be killed if you would compromise your convictions? You can have this faith like Daniel if you believe in Jesus and accept him as your Savior. I want to encourage you to have a devotional life like Daniel and to build your faith in Jesus. Back in 1873, Philip Bliss wrote a poem, and I'm going to read it here. "Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known." How many remember that as "Dare to be a Daniel" song? That's one of my favorites. I had to conclude with that. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for the example of Daniel. We would like to be like Daniel, having the faithfulness, the honor and integrity, the devotions that he had to you, the worship he had for you. Let them be, put those in our heart that we may be more and more like you. Help us to be strong and of good courage and be loving to our fellow men. In thy holy name, amen.